What? What? Why? What are you talking about? Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 311. Tipitaka, part 202. And it's Cholavaga 1, part 6. I'm trying to refine my Pali pronunciation, but I'm still using the anglicized form of the word Buddha. That's just what you're gonna get. Hope it's okay with you. It's fine with me. No, apparently, according to the ChatGPT thing that Rodrigo had posted in the comments of the previous Tipitaka, it said that the U is pronounced like the U in pull, and I've been using it like the U in dude. So Chulava, I was saying Chol, I don't know what I was saying before, but I was saying Kulavaga, like Kool-Aid or something. But so it's not only Chulavaga, but Cholavaga, like the peoples from the Tamil region in history, known as the Cholas. Anyway, all right, so hi, how's everybody doing? Hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and so on. And today we're going to be continuing to read the Vinaya Pitaka a little bit at a time until we finish it, and then we will begin the second basket, the teachings basket. Anyway, I should memorize that better. It's been a couple years since I've had to say it out loud. Why am I making myself testing myself? So yeah, if it wasn't obvious, I'm not an expert in any of this. I'm learning this, and I've chosen to learn it in front of you while sitting in front of these things that just happen to be here in my office at home. And so if that's something you're into, a random guy reading English translations of Buddhist scriptures, then do feel free to click like and subscribe, you know. And if you want to start at the beginning of the Tipitaka, it was almost 4 years ago that I began reading the Tipitaka, so it's a little bit of a different me. But if you're willing to watch me slowly evolve from that guy into this guy, then feel free to, you know, you know, surf the playlist, start at the beginning, or pick a random one in the middle, whatever you'd like. Okay, I think that's all the preamble. Without further ado, let's get to today's reading. I'm not really remembering. Oh yeah, I kind of vaguely remember. Oh yeah, yeah, Homer. Homer couldn't get a massage. Right. Now, it's a new character. I think this is going to be... Oh, this is someone who we've encountered before. I'll just start reading now. At one time, the Awakened One, the Lord, was staying at Savati in the Jetta Grove in Anathapindika's monastery. This seemed to be his favorite place to hang out. Now at that time, a wrong view had arisen to a monk named Arita, who had formerly been a vulture trainer, like this. Quote, "Insofar as I understand Dhamma taught by the Lord, it is that in following those things called stumbling blocks by the Lord, there is no stumbling block at all." End quote. All right. This sounds familiar from the rules from before, so let's do a flashback to the Tipitaka Rogues Gallery episode and let me from a couple years ago tell us a little bit about that.
The monk Arita, who'd previously been a vulture trainer. Thank you for the vulture noise, Editor Edward. So here he's represented by Honest John Foulfellow from Pinocchio, the old cartoon, because he wouldn't stop saying, "The Dharma taught by the Lord, as I understand it, is that in doing the things he calls stumbling blocks, one finds they are not stumbling blocks at all." And he wouldn't stop saying that. It was a Paketeer rule, 68, and they also shunned him. No one was allowed to talk to him until he stopped saying that, right?
Okay, so now we can move forward. All right. You have more of an idea of this than I do at this point, because I haven't found that clip nor edited it in yet. All right. Several monks heard, quote, "A wrong view has arisen to the monk named Arita, who was formerly a vulture trainer, like this," quote within quotes, "insofar as I understand," three dots, "there is no stumbling block at all." End quote within quotes, end quotes. Then these monks approached the monk Arita, who had formerly been a vulture trainer. And having approached, they spoke thus to the monk Arita, who had formerly been a vulture trainer. Quote, "Is it true, as is said, Reverend Arita, that a wrong view has arisen in you like this?" Quote within quotes, "insofar as I understand," three dots, "there is no stumbling block at all," end quote within quotes, end quote. Quote, "Undoubtedly, your reverences," sorry, his voice keeps changing, but what can you do? "Undoubtedly, your reverences, as I understand Dhamma," this is Arita talking, no. Okay, "as I understand Dhamma taught by the Lord, it is that in following those things called stumbling blocks by the Lord, there is no stumbling block at all," end quote. Quote, "Do not speak thus, Reverend Arita. Do not misrepresent the Lord. Misrepresentation of the Lord is not at all seemly. And the Lord certainly would not speak thus, Reverend Arita. In many a figure are things that are stumbling blocks called stumbling blocks by the Lord. And in following these, there is a veritable stumbling block. Sense pleasures are declared by the Lord to be things affording little satisfaction, of much pain, of much tribulation, wherein is more danger. Sense pleasures are declared by the Lord to be like a skeleton, of much pain, of much tribulation, wherein is more danger. Sense pleasures are declared by the Lord to be like a lump of meat," three dots, "to be like a firebrand of dry grass," three dots. By the way, thank you, Polytext Society, for the three dots. "To be like a pit of glowing embers," three dots. "To be like a dream," three dots. "To be like something borrowed," three dots. "To be like the fruits of a tree," three dots. The upstairs cat says hello or something. "To be like a slaughterhouse," three dots. "To be like an impaling steak," three dots. "Sense pleasures are declared by the Lord to be like a snake's head, of much pain, of much tribulation, wherein is more danger," end quote. Yet the monk Arita, who had formerly been a vulture trainer, on being spoken to thus by these monks, expressed that wrong view as before, obstinately holding to it, adhering to it. Quote, "Undoubtedly, your reverences, as I understand Dhamma taught by the Lord, it is that in following those things called stumbling blocks by the Lord, there is no stumbling block at all." End. And since those monks were unable to dissuade the monk Arita, who had formerly been a vulture trainer, from that wrong view, then those monks approached the Lord, And having approached, they told this matter to the Lord. Then the Lord, on this occasion, in this connection, having had the order of monks convened, questioned the monk Arita, who had formerly been a vulture trainer, saying, quote, "Is it true, as is said, that you, Arita, that to you, Arita, a wrong view like this arose," quote within quotes, "insofar as I understand Dhamma, three dots, there is no stumbling block at all," end quote within quotes, end quote. Quote, "Undoubtedly, Lord, as I understand Dhamma, three dots, no stumbling block at all," end quote. Quote, "To whom, then, do you, foolish man, understand that Dhamma was taught thus by me? Are not, foolish man, things that are stumbling blocks called in many a figure stumbling blocks by me? And in following these, is there not a veritable stumbling block? Sense pleasures are declared by me to be things affording little satisfaction, of much pain, of much tribulation, wherein is more danger." Three dots. "Sense pleasures are declared by me to be like a snake's head, of much pain, of much tribulation, wherein is more danger. And yet you, foolish man, not only misrepresent me because of your own wrong grasp, but you also injure yourself and give rise to much demerit, which for a long time will be for you, foolish man, of woe and pain. It is not, foolish man, for pleasing those who are not yet pleased." Three dots. End quote. And having rebuked him, having given reason to talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, "Well then, monks, let the order carry out a formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view against the monk Arita, who was formerly a vulture trainer, and with no eating with an order." End quotes. I mean, no, the quotes didn't end. New paragraph. Still in quotes. Lord Buddha is still talking. "And thus, monks, should it be carried out. First, the monk Arita should be reproved. Having reproved him, he should be made to remember. Having made him remember, he should be accused of the offense. Having accused him of the offense, the order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote within quotes, "Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. A wrong view has arisen to the monk Arita, who was formerly a vulture trainer, like this. Insofar as I understand Dhamma taught by the Lord, three dots, there is no stumbling block at all. He does not give up this view. If it seems right to the order, let the order carry out a formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view against the monk Arita, who was formerly a vulture trainer, and with no eating with an order. This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. A wrong view has arisen," three dots, he repeats it. "He does not give up this view. The order is carrying out a formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view against the monk Arita, who was formerly a vulture trainer and with no eating with an order. If the carrying out of the formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view against the monk Arita, who was formerly a vulture trainer and with no eating with an order, is pleasing to the venerable ones, let them be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. And a second time I speak forth this matter," three dots, "and a third time I speak forth this matter," three dots, "it is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this." End quote within quotes. And monks, remember Lord Buddha's explaining how this should be done, so still talking. "And monks, proclaim in residence after residence," quote within quotes, A formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view has been carried out against the monk Arita, who was formerly a vulture trainer and with no eating within order. End quote within quotes. All right. Monks. If a monk is possessed of three qualities, three dots, and then now the Polytech Society has some parentheses here. It says, equals 1.2 through 5. Instead of censure, read act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view. And parentheses. So basically, flip back. And it's similar to a previous time that something similar came up. And they don't want to go into it all again because they're trying to save paper. Thank you, Polytech Society, on behalf of the trees, but not on behalf of people who want to know what it says in the Vinaya Pitaka. Sorry. No, but it... Never mind. I said three dots. If he does not quarrel with monks. Right, yeah. Okay, that stuff. End quote. Told, sort of. Are the 18 observances connected with the formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view? All right. Well, there it is. Let's read a bit more. Then the order carried out a formal act of suspension for not giving up his wrong view against the monk Arita, who was formerly a vulture trainer, and with no eating within order. He, when the formal act of suspension for not giving up his wrong view had been carried out against him by the order, left the order. Yeah, go start your own thing. Ajivika? No, that's not the name of the guy. That's the name of the order. You know what I'm talking about? Long-time listeners might. And people who know what that means. Those who were modest monks looked down upon, criticized, spread it about, saying, quote, how can this monk named Arita, who was formerly a vulture trainer, leave the order when a formal act of what do you mean? You just leave. He obviously is in diametric opposition to the teachings of the Sangha, and now he's on suspension, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to leave the order. That's kind of natural, right? But let's see where this is going to go. How is it possible? How can he leave the order? When a formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view is carried out against him by the order. End quote. That's kind of as narrow as some of the folks in the order that I used to be a part of used to be, but enough about that. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. Were you going to punish him for leaving? What kind of order is this? Are you going to put snakes in his mailbox or something? No. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. Then the Lord, on this occasion, in this connection, having had the order of monks convened, questioned the monks, saying, quote, is it true, as is said, monks, that the monk Arita, who was formerly a vulture trainer, left the order when a formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view was carried out against him by the order? End quote. Quote, it is true, Lord. Seems to me like a problem that solved itself. End quote. No, that's not what he said. That's not what they said. That's what I say. But they said, quote, it is true, Lord. End quote. The awakened one. The Lord rebuked them, saying, quote, how, monks, can this foolish man leave the order when a formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view was carried out against him by the order? Okay, two things. One, maybe leave the order meant something different to them than it does to me? Because isn't that where you leave the order, right? I mean, maybe that means something. So the second thought is, if you're trying to keep in a different context, if I wasn't giving the utmost respect to the original Sangha of my favorite philosophical tradition or religion or whatever you want to call the various strains and forms of Buddhism, the brainwashing, if you want to keep the monks all kind of like marching in the same, like, how can this foolish man leave the order? You want them to say, yeah! Yeah, don't leave the order. Yeah, yeah, we're not going to leave the order. You know, no, nobody should leave the order. Yeah, 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 yeah. But in reality, if you've decided that you completely disagree with Lord Buddha, leaving the order is a very natural thing to do, is it not? Right? I'll keep reading. Maybe it starts to make sense later, but I doubt it. It is not, monks, for pleasing those who are not yet pleased, end quote. And having rebuked them, having given reason talk, he addressed the monks saying, quote, well then, let the order revoke the formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view. What? You're going to revoke the... That's like giving a cookie to a child for having a tantrum. Like, he left the order because you suspended him, or he left the order because he realized everybody here thinks that stumbling blocks are stumbling blocks, but I've realized that they're not. And they're insisting that I say that they are, or they're going to not eat with me, so I'm going to leave the order. And so he's like, he left the order? Well, then revoke the suspension so that he won't be suspended. He'll just have left the order. I'm so confused. I'm very confused. I look forward to after we finish the entire Tipitaka and then read the first several centuries of Mahayana and then finally come around to the 6th century Common Era Theravadan scholar monks of Sri Lanka and Burma, who maybe will revisit this and explain it for us. But until then, I, like I presume everybody who heard this in that 1200 year period, will just wonder, what, why, what are you talking about? With respect and in silence, meditate upon it. Why would they revoke the suspension against a guy who left the order for having him? Here we go. Okay, let's keep reading. Well then, let the order revoke the formal act of suspension. For not giving up a wrong view. Monks, if a monk is possessed of five qualities, parentheses, Polytech Society says, so remember before when something, a completely unrelated situation where something made a lot more sense because they were going to revoke the suspension because the monk said he was sorry and he wasn't going to do it again, and then when they were going to let him back, as opposed to this situation where a monk left the order and won't let go of his wrong view, and now for some random reason they're going to get rid of the suspension. And well, anyway, copy paste that other situation here. Okay, thank you, Polytech Society. That's not helping at all. The formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view may not be revoked if any of those things happened. Apparently leaving the order is not something that will keep you from being having the suspension revoked. Told! We're done! No explanation necessary. That's the end of that story. Didn't make sense. I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to explain how it makes sense and how it might be relevant to us today, but all I can say is that didn't make sense. The whole Arita thing, everything we read today, everything you heard from the moment I opened my mouth while reading, was just... it actively doesn't make sense. It's not that it's, like, confusing. It literally is makes the opposite of sense and then says, anyway, that wraps that up. Like, what are you talking about? Okay. And thus, monks, should it be revoked? Monks, that monk against whom a formal act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view has been carried out, having approached the order, the monk who left the order is going to approach the order? Okay. But he left. So who's going to go get him and tell him, we forgive you. We're sorry. Don't leave the order. You can keep your wrong view. What's going on here? Three dots. Parentheses, instead of act of censure, read act of suspension for not giving up a wrong view. Instead of say a saga, read the monk so-and-so. Isn't this the monk Atika? Arita? And parentheses, three dots, quote within quotes, three dots, thus do I understand this. Good for you, I don't. End quote within quotes, end quote. Told is the seventh formal act, that of suspension for not giving up a wrong view. Told is the first section, that on formal acts. Oh, we're at the end of Cholavaga 1. What just happened with the guy with the wrong views that got forgiven for leaving the order? What was that about? Anyway, in this section are seven items. This is its key. You know about keys, right? This is going to be sound a bit silly. But this is like, we're going to run through all of Cholavaga 1 real quick to just review and, like, you know, get ready for the test, right? Monks who were followers of Panduka and Lohitaka, themselves makers of strife, remember them, approached similar ones and incited them to strife. And strifes not arisen were born, and those arisen expanded. Modest, well-behaved monks looked down upon the expounder, the awakened one, standing on what is verily Dhamma, self-developing, foremost of men. Conqueror enjoined a formal act of censure at Savati, and what is carried out not in the presence of, when there is no interrogation, no acknowledgement, and what is carried out for no offense, for one not leading on to confession, for one confessed, and what is carried out not having reproved, not having made to remember, not having accused, and two, what is carried out, not in the presence of, not by rule, by an incomplete assembly. Again, what is carried out when there is no interrogation, not by rule, by an incomplete assembly. And two, what is carried out, not on the acknowledgement, not by rule, by an incomplete assembly. And two, what is carried out when there is no offense, not by rule, by an incomplete assembly. And also for an offense which does not lead on to confession, when it is not by rule and the assembly is incomplete, and likewise for one that is confessed, if also not by rule, by an incomplete assembly, and likewise not having reproved him, if also not by rule, by an incomplete assembly, and likewise not having made him remember, not by rule, by an incomplete assembly, and likewise not having accused him, not by rule, by an incomplete assembly. The bright occasions should also be inferred exactly according to the dark occasions, and the order, so desiring, may carry out censure against this one. The quarrel maker, the ignorant, the liver in company with. The order may carry out a formal act of censure in regard to moral habit, good habits, against one who has fallen away from right views, and against whomever speaks dispraise of the awakened one, Dhamma, the order, and the order may also carry out a formal act of censure against three kinds of monks. The one who is a maker of strife, the ignorant one, the one intent on living in company. Likewise, in regard to moral habit, good habits, right views, and against whoever speaks dispraise of the awakened one, Dhamma, the order. The one against whom a formal act of censure has been carried out, conducting himself properly, thus, ordination, guidance, attendance by a novice. The one against whom censure has been carried out should do nothing in regard to exhortation, even although agreed upon, he should not fall into that same offense, into a similar one, or into one higher than it. And such a one would neither find fault with a formal act, nor with those who carry it out. He should not suspend a regular monk's observance, invitation. Such a one should not have to do with commands, authority, leave, reproving, making remember and quarrels, ordination, guidance, attendance by a novice, exhortation, and even if agreed upon, the five qualities are not the end. If he falls into that same offense, and into a similar one, and one that is higher than it, and finding fault both with a formal act and with those who carry it out, this is not the end. Observance, invitation, commands, authority, leave, reproving too, making remember, quarreling. Whoever is bound by these eight qualities, censure is not allayed for him. The bright occasions should also be inferred exactly according to the dark occasions. And Sayasaka, too, ignorant, full of offenses, living in company. The self-awakened one, great sage, enjoined a formal act of guidance. Followers of the two monks of Asaji and Punabasu at Kitagiri indulged in a variety of bad habits and were not talked round. The self-awakened one, the conqueror, enjoined at Savati a formal act of banishment. Sudhama was a resident in Chitta's Machasanda. Sudhama jeered at the lay follower Chitta with talk on birth. The truth finder enjoyed a formal act of reconciliation at Kosambi when the monk Channa, not wanting to see an offense, the incomparable conqueror enjoined the order to suspend him for not seeing. Channa did not want to make amends for that same offense. The leader enjoined a formal act of suspension for not making amends for. The wrong view of Arita was founded on ignorance. Suspension for not giving up the wrong view was proclaimed by the conqueror. A formal act of guidance, banishment, likewise reconciliation. A formal act for not seeing, for not making amends for, and for not giving up a wrong view. Frivolity, bad habits, harming, and also a wrong mode of livelihood. These are additional cases in the formal act of banishment. Two fives, beginning, non-receiving, dispraise, are two pentads, particularly named. These are additional cases in the formal act of reconciliation. And two among the formal acts are similar, censure and guidance. And there are the remaining cases, banishment and reconciliation. The three formal acts of suspension are alike in their division. What remains in any formal act is to understood as the case of censure. To be understood, Ms. Horner? Is that what you meant to say? Maybe proofread? A little bit. With all due respect to the former president of the Polytech Society. Good work here. Don't mean anything by my little snide comments. All right, that concludes Cholavaga 1. Next time on Buddhist Books 313, Tipitaka Part 203, we will begin Cholavaga 2, I assume. Oh, no, yeah, I saw it. Cholavaga 2. And I shall just wonder what happened today. Why did they forgive him for leaving the order? Don't leave the order, though. And anyway, that's what you do. Moving on. No explanation. I don't know. I mean, I guess like if looking at it, I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt. No, I mean giving it too much benefit of the doubt. Like going out of my way to explain it in a positive way, or a way that makes any sense whatsoever, when I don't actually believe that it makes sense. I'm convinced that I'm totally confused. It doesn't make sense. But if we think of Lord Buddha like a father, as he is presented in the Lotus Sutra, and thus Mahayana and Vajrayana and Zen, and one of his children misbehaves, and he says, no television for a week, and the child runs away from home and he's out on his own, out on the street, hitchhiking and selling himself for whatever, you know, then perhaps the loving father would say, come, child, you can watch TV. I'm sorry that I made you not watch TV just because you were directly contradicting the central message of our cult. I don't know. You know, skillful means, maybe. Maybe this is an early example. I don't actually think any of that. That's just the best I can do to try to explain what happened. Feel free to comment below if you understand why his suspension was revoked and he was allowed to come back because he left the order, even though he still was saying that stumbling blocks aren't stumbling blocks. I'd be interested in hearing what you have to say. If you have thoughts about that. Okay. Well, I guess that's that. Next time it's going to be 312 is going to be the Platform Sutra of the Sixth Patriarch of Chan. So, you know, if you want to catch up, that's one that it's good to have caught up because it's a story and we're going to jump in the middle of it. So check out the Zen playlist, and you might want to look down at the playlist to where the Platform Sutra begins, and then watch Platform Sutras part 1, part 2, part 3, however many there are so far, and then you'll be all caught up and ready for the next episode of Buddhist Books Podcast. I'm going to go ahead and do our usual closing now. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.